Well, I just went over to top off my cup, and I've looked at those signs before, but I realized on the cup or on the coffee canisters, of course, now I'm doing it to myself. I said there's two. Really, there's only one. So there's one that says coffee, and there's one that says decaf. So decaf coffee, is there such a thing? Because if coffee is caffeinated, if you decaffeinate it, is it still coffee? Yeah. Is one, there's a yes in here. So is one real coffee and one fake coffee? We're going to get into real versus fake here in a little bit, or false, I guess. So I got a question. Most of us here in the room, we've been doing this for a while, right? You've had a relationship with God, His Word, His will. Are you still growing? Good. There's some head nods going on. Do you know what areas you still need to grow in? Do you think there's any hidden areas you still need to grow in? Yes. So we're going to look at a passage that you're very, very familiar with, or all of us should be very familiar with again. Go to Galatians 5. And we're going to look at it a little bit different way, I think, than maybe what you have in the past. And hopefully realize that we do have some areas that we need to continue to grow in or maybe start growing in. Galatians 5, we're going to read starting in verse 16. Says, live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. In verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, or envying one another. Today, many of us probably somewhat gloss over this passage and just kind of consider, yep, I got it. I'm working on that. Kind of understand it, I think, for the most part. But we run over it a little bit too quickly because of how many times we've maybe read it. And that we feel that we're truly implementing it to the full extent that we can. Well, Paul here has just brought out some things that are underlying that we need to realize about this passage. Today we're going to talk about four facets that we need to understand this passage is bringing out. We need to understand that real change or real growth is gradual. It's inevitable. It's internal. And it's symmetrical. And Paul in there used the word contrast because there's opportunity for false growth and false change. And we need to make sure we can realize those differences. One of the first things that we need to spend just a moment on is the phrasing that Paul used. Why didn't he call these traits or characteristics? Instead, he called them fruit. He called them fruit because there's a growth characteristic here that we find fairly often in the Bible, and it has to do with organic growth versus mechanical growth. If we go to 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, we see this analogy of organic growth. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 says, "You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God." If we go back to Psalms 1, in verse 3, "They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away." So here God, or David, again relates to the organic through the trees and their leaves and their fruit, to the mechanical, the chaff that's being driven away by wind. Another thing that we need to look at is Paul uses something here, a term that seems to be in conflict. And I thought I had this in my notes, and I don't know if I'm jumping ahead. No, I'll get to that. So we're going to look at these four facets or characteristics of change or growth. And the first one is that growth is gradual. A lot of times, what we'll call organic growth isn't something we can just stare at for a few minutes and go, "Oh, yep, I see it growing. Go ahead, take that tomato seed, put it in the soil, put a little bit of water on it, pat it down, and wait 5 minutes. What you got? You still have a seed. Now, a day or two later, you might have something a little bit more in the seed, but you can't see it because it's under the soil. There might be a little tiny finger of a root coming out of that seed. So if growth is gradual and we really can't visualize it in every case, at least in the moment, how do we know it's growth? Well, over a period of time, we can measure it. And since over that period of time, we don't realize, even though we're kind of looking at it, dramatic change, we have to have that patience, right? But growth is still taking place even when it seems dormant. And again, if we go back to the organic side of things, a tree. We'll take a fruit tree. Over the winter, is that tree still growing? Well, what's all needed for growth? What's taking place over the winter that will allow more growth? A rest period? Come very, very early spring, late winter, sap starts running up those from the roots up back into the limbs and then branches and ultimately leaves, right? So reorganization of resources is maybe taking place. Silas here is, what, he's 8 weeks old? Somewhere in there, a couple months now? He sleeps a lot more than you and I. But he's growing a lot more than you and I. When he's sleeping, is he not growing? He's growing. And again, growth is not something that we always see or feel, but something that should be and could be measured. For us, that measurement comes from testing. A lot of times we'll go through a trial and we'll realize that, or if we go through a race, a physical race, it's a 100-yard race, and I compete in it, and maybe I'm not the winner, but I make it across the finish line. Most often, if one of us does something like that, we've done it a few times, right? And we probably look back and go, okay, I didn't win this race, but my time was a little bit better. There was a measurement, a noticeable measurement that could take place. Second area that we need to consider is that Christian growth is inevitable. If we have God's Holy Spirit inside of us, there is going to be a change, a positive change, as long as we're prescribing to His Holy Spirit. We want to fight it, yeah. If we have God's Holy Spirit in us, we are going to become more patient, despite how impatient we might be. We are going to become more loving. And we're going to have more faith. And again, if we consider what's really taking place, even though at the moment I don't feel like I'm growing all that much, I still have a lot of impatience. I still lack faith. I'm still harsh with people every now and then. But it's something going on. So there's an old abandoned sidewalk. Not too far away, there's a big, huge pine tree. One of the seeds from one of those cones fall right down in one of the cracks in that sidewalk. There's really no traffic on the sidewalk anymore. So there's some dirt and dust and debris in that crack. And the rain comes on a regular basis. And the seed germinates. And it starts growing. What happens over several years? We have another tree, right? What happened to the sidewalk? Well, it's not just cracked, it's moved. The tree, which was a tiny little seed that weighed nothing to you and I, now has picked up and moved several hundred pounds of concrete, seemingly effortlessly. So if we got God's Holy Spirit in us, how much more powerful do you think our opportunity is? God's Holy Spirit becomes active in us through real faith. Not simply works, but real faith with real works. Go to James 2 and verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, but I by my works, show you my faith. So again, we're seeing this contrast where something may appear real, but it really isn't genuine. Not being utilized the way it should be. The goal infused in it isn't coming where it should come from. And all of us have, and probably have, or had, for a long time, some quirks about us. And we can look in the mirror every day and think to ourselves, okay, I'm not that bad. I think I'm better in this area. I think I'm better in that area. I think I got rid of that. I don't think I really have any more quirks. God's going, no, you got some things I still want you to work on. So how do we realize the quirks that we really can't see? Go to somebody you spend a lot of time around. They'll tell you. Maybe you have to ask them first. A lot of times, like if you're like me, you don't have to ask. They'll let you know. Maybe you can't keep a secret. Maybe undiplomatic and abrasive. Maybe not very loving. Maybe resentful. Maybe your feelings are easily hurt. Kind of wear a chip on your shoulder. Any or all of those things are pointing to us that there's a lack in our lives, inside of us, of joy, a lack of peace, lack of love, lack of patience, lack of kindness, lack of goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, lack of self-control. Doesn't mean that we're not growing. That pine seed that fell in the crack of the sidewalk was there for a great number of months before the concrete started moving. Third aspect we're looking at is that change is internal. So leadership, charisma, intelligence, are those fruits of the Spirit? Again, there's a difference between mechanical and organic growth. If we decided to all go outside and each grab a small handful of rocks, and then we dropped all of those rocks into one parking space out on the parking lot, we would have a growing pile of rocks, right? Okay, did the rocks do anything? Are they doing anything? That's mechanical. They were picked up and moved, so we can call it a growing pile, but it's not growing. That pine tree that's growing up now through the sidewalk and pushing it aside is doing something internally. It's now become potential for multiple things. Could be used for heat, firewood. Could also be used to build for protection, to build a house with. Paul again brings out the mechanical versus organic growth. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. He says, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." Nothing's occurring from within. "And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing." If you and I are harsh, discourteous, rude, but go through the mechanics of religion, we're nothing. We're not accomplishing anything outside for others, nor for ourselves. At times, it's possible that we might see others' lives changing because of our works or our perceived works. That is not a measure of our growth. That's a measure of their growth. A change is taking place inside of them. But is it taking place inside of us? Our growth is when we change. The last aspect that we're going to look at is that true growth through God's Holy Spirit is symmetrical. When Paul wrote Galatians 5, he used some verbiage that seems to be contradictory. He says that the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. The fruit, singular, of God's Spirit. And then he gives a list, plural. How does this work? The subject is singular, but the predicate is plural. Paul was pointing out something huge that I haven't been paying much attention to. All of these fruits are one. One does not exist without the other. We can't choose to focus on only one and then call it good. They cannot be separated. Peace and humility must go hand in hand. So if I'm a proud person, but claim to be at peace, which means no worry, no anxiety, right? Then I have a counterfeit peace. Why do I say counterfeit peace? Because real peace will only work with real humility. And spiritual peace can only come from spiritual humility. Worry is arrogance. It's a refusal to form a humble posture before God. Have you looked at it that way before? Worry is arrogance. It's a refusal to submit to God. Sharon read it here a few moments ago. James 4 and verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there doing business and making money, yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. When we worry, it's us thinking we know. We have knowledge. We're thinking more of our knowing than of God's will or His knowledge. Anyone filled with anxiety is filled with arrogance. You're sure of our own knowledge, and we're disregarding God's. We're disregarding His promises, His love, His mercy. So true peace is always from a posture of true humility. Father, I don't like this, but you know what I need. You know when I need it, and you know how I need it. And I know you supply it and will supply it. If I'm a proud person and claim to have peace, that peace is only, that fake peace is only there because in the moment I've deceived myself into thinking that it's because of something I did. Well, I've been saving my money so that I can. I went out and got a good job. I studied hard for that. I chose to do that. Again, we're forgetting about God's mercy and love. We're ignoring that. This counterfeit peace, any of these counterfeit fruits, will be temporary and they will fall apart. In 1 John 4, in verse 20, we see that those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers are liars. There's false fruit there. It does not say that one is unbalanced. It says they are liars. If we don't have all the fruit, we don't have any fruit. Because real peace is always connected to humility, the realization that we need God at all times. We might look at ourselves or others and say, they're gentle, but they're not faithful. Real faithfulness is loyalty and courage. Some people just have a personality about them where they're just sweethearts. Pretty much all the time. A couple days ago, my grandniece was brought out to the camping with us, and I've only been around her a couple of times, and she's now, I think she's 2.5, and I come out of our trailer the other morning, and she's already out there kind of playing around with her grandma. And when I walk out, she walks right up to me. She says, who are you? I mean, she had a smile on, and I said, well, I'm Aaron. What's your name? And she told me. And she says, do you want to go see this? She's just a sweetheart. Later on, Clay comes out, and she does the same thing with him. Well, who are you? And he went over to get something. So Clay didn't sleep in the trailer. He slept in a hammock, and he's got a mosquito net over the hammock, and over top of the mosquito net is a rain fly. So it's a fairly elaborate setup. And this thing is just sitting over there, and she didn't know what it was. And she saw him go over by it, and she, goes up to him and says, what is that? So he tries telling her, and she's trying to comprehend it all. And he says, would you like to get up in it? I'll help you. She says, yes, please. So he puts her up there for a minute or two, and she gets back down. And about 10 minutes later, we're sitting around the fire, and she walks up to Clay, and she says, Clay, can you take me back over to that thing again? Can you put me in that thing again? She's just sweet. She did have an attitude later on in the day about something. Yeah. But her nature, she's just a sweet person. Some are born with that proclivity to be nice. Yet they're cowards. Because even if I or you, whoever it is, weren't Christian, everybody would love us because of our sweetness. Our sweetness does not and cannot go with loyalty. Faithfulness and courage, nor integrity. When we're sweet, we don't want to hurt anybody. We don't ever really want to say no. Or you shouldn't do that. It's a selfish lack of love. Real gentleness has to go along with real love and real faithfulness, which takes boldness and courage. If I have peace and pride, I really don't have peace. Because we're not just to have one, but we're to exude all of this fruit as one. That singular fruit of spirit. They're all connected. They're all interwoven. Real self-control can only come about with real joy. Where does addiction come from? It's a lack of joy. You're looking for something that feels better. So counterfeit self-control can't come from humility or joy, but it comes from pride. I want, I need. Self-control. There's a contrast between males and females. For the most part, males don't cry as often as females. Why is that? Because during their upbringing, they were told, more often than not, not to cry. It's not manly. That's what girls do. Is that really self-control then? It's not. That self-control is not a product from within, it's a product from external pressure. It won't last. That self-control won't endure anything. And it's going to be harmful because at times, males need to cry. The fruit of the Spirit is a singular, interwoven gift from God. Peace and joy promote integrity. Goodness is integrity. Everywhere we go, we are the same. Doesn't matter what day it is, where we're at, or who we're in front of, we don't change who we are or how we act. We're the same. Goodness and integrity comes from true joy and peace. We're not looking for change. We're thankful for the change that has taken place, is taking place within us. And we have true faith that God will continue that change, that restoration in us. Some are very trustworthy. They can be told anything. They're very accepting and non-judgmental, but they have no self-control because they don't want anything to do with discipline, which means they're lacking in humility. They're lacking in peace and in joy. So their trustworthiness is false and won't achieve anything. Some seem unflappable, having great peace, but they're not gentle. Their false peace is lacking in true caring, because that unflappability is really them just not caring. Some are naive and some are cynical. Both of those come from a lack of humility, not realizing their full need of God's word, his plans, his blessings. If we want true growth within us, we must yield to all of God wants us to put us through his Holy Spirit. So what false values are we clinging to that we need to work on? Those are the concrete in our lives that needs to be moved, will be moved. Real growth is gradual. It's going to take patience. Real growth is inevitable, because if we have God's Holy Spirit within us, something is going to change. Real growth is internal. It transforms us before it transforms others. And real growth is symmetrical. The entirety of the fruit of the Spirit will be seen and produced. Let's go back to Galatians 5 and verse 16. Read it one more time. Live by the Spirit. I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh, for what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. But for these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to our Savior, Jesus Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, or envying one another. As we go about taking this look at what areas of our lives we need to have greater growth in, we can ask God for it. He'll bless us with that. He'll give us the strength. But then our true growth will then be an encouragement to the real growth in others.